morning again. that young man's name, if you would just pray for them, his name was Chase. So if you would just pray for, Chase's family would be very much appreciated. And little Jovi Love. Morgan's not here because Jovi's been battling some kind of coughing thing. We took her to the doctor, and they said it was like croup and gave her some medicine, but we didn't want to infect anybody. So Morgan's at home with sweet little Jovi. As we get started here, as you know, we've been walking through the book of Romans. And as I said last week, we're slowly coming to the end of this book. Sorry, Kelly, if any little kids, you can go with Kelly. As we've been walking, we're coming to the end of the book of Romans, and we've been walking and looking at the gospel and how Jesus flows through the book of Romans. And we're going to continue that journey, and we're going to look at chapter 12, and it's page 891 in the Pew Bibles, if you want to look there, or just turn to Romans chapter 12. And as you're turning there, I found this song, and it's a very old song, that fits so well with what chapter 12 is about. And I'm going to read the first part, and hopefully I won't start singing because I can't sing, but you know, when you start reading a song, it just kind of becomes a song. It's called I'm Coming Home by Cademan's Call. It says, you say you want a living sacrifice. Well, I am a burnt offering, crawling off the altar and back into the fire. With my smoke-filled lungs, I cry out for freedom, while locking and chaining myself to my rotting desires. And I hate the stench, but I swallow the key, and with it stuck in my throat, can you hear me? Can you hear me? I'm coming home, I'm coming home. I'm coming home, I'm coming home, but I'm still a long way off. Let us pray. Lord, we give you praise and glory that we can take this moment, that we can sit at your feet, and that we can hear your word. We thank you that we could start this morning with prayer, that we could start this morning with worship to you, Lord. Lord, help us to just focus all that we are on you, Lord. Help us not worry about meetings or lunches or what's going on later, Lord, but just to sit at your feet and to hear you, Lord, because you are such a wonderful God. We praise you and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As we start here, getting into chapter 12, we have to remember some of where we've come from. Chapter 8, if you remember, it starts off with no condemnation and ends with nothing can separate us. That there should be enough to close the book, say amen, and move on. But no condemnation and nothing can separate us. And why is that? Chapter 9 tells us why that is, because we have assurance that God has a plan. And he had this plan way before he said in the beginning. So God put this plan into motion. God said, I'm going to create these beings. These beings are going to mess up, but I'm going to die for them. I'm going to make them into our image. If you remember, and it's kind of interesting, this thought just popped into my head. Think about it. What did Genesis say? When God is creating everything, what does he say to the rest of the Trinity? Let us make man in our image. But then what does he say back here in Romans? I'm going to make you in the image of Christ. The plan has always been the same. And that's what he continues to do. So we have that assurance that we in Christ we have no condemnation. We have nothing that can separate us. And then we moved into chapter 10 saying that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord is saved. And we looked how God created the world. He created the people. He created and populated the world. And it is the world that calls upon the name of the Lord and is saved, not just an individual. And last week we left off that our hope in salvation comes from God extending that gift of his Son to those outside of the family, which goes back to everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Why? Because we've been grafted into that tree, into that family of God. And as we go through chapter 12, I want you to hold on to this. And if you mark in your Bibles, mark this verse. Verse 6 of chapter 12 is the ultimate verse. And it says, let us use them. We're going to go there and we're going to hit it again. But my translation, the ESV here says, let us use them. And so let's explore that. This is where we're going to meet rubber meets road. And let's start with verse 1 of chapter 12. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. that by testing that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Okay, for those of you that we've been doing this a while, did anybody catch the big key word in that first section? Therefore. We've looked at therefore again. Remember, what is therefore for? It's to remember. Paul wants us to remember. Paul wants us to think about, therefore, because of everything that you have heard, do this. But what have we heard? Here's what we have heard. And this is the thing. This is why the rubber meets the road, because 1 through 11 is everything that we have heard. We have heard we are sinners. We have heard that we hold the truth. We know who God is, but we reject God. We hold the truth, and yet we do things our own way. We have heard that God is just and justifier. It is He who paid the price. It is He that offers the gift, and it is He who decides who gets it or not, because He did it. It's all His. We have heard that we have heard that He is faithful to keep the promise He made to Abraham. We have heard that this promise that He made has been extended to the non-Jewish people, you and me. But it continues to be the foundation of the Jewish faith. That promise is Jesus. We have seen and we have heard how that promise gives life. That life brings freedom. That freedom satisfies the letter of the law, because the letter of the law points out your sin and points to death. But the promise satisfies that letter of the law. This is what you did. This is what you owe. Jesus said, "It is finished. I paid it." And because the law has been satisfied, there is now no condemnation. Because God's free gifts gives the assurance that nothing can separate what God has ordained from before time began. This is what we've heard from chapter 1 to chapter 11. So what are we to do with that? Therefore, since you have heard these things, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. But what is a sacrifice? We look at that and we have to ask this ourselves, what is a sacrifice? The Old Testament is filled with what sacrifice is. To be kind of blunt about it, you take an animal, you pray over it, you kill it, you chop it into a bunch of different pieces, you burn it, you pour the blood here. It's a very nasty, disgusting thing. The priests had a very messy job back then. If you look around the world, there are sacrifices. Sadly, there are child sacrifices. There are animal sacrifices. A sacrifice is you're giving something to die either in your place or to appease a god. The world appeases gods. The Old Testament was to take our place. So when you think about that, a sacrifice is something that dies, is cut into 1,000 pieces, and is no more. So when you offer that sacrifice, can all of a sudden you say, well, Hold on, before you finish pouring that blood out and you're burning the entrails, I would like it back, please. That animal actually was a very hard-working animal, and I would like it back. Is that possible? There's no way. That thing's in 1,000 pieces. You can't take it back. It's gone. I want to show you this quick video. Morgan came home last Monday, and the lady that's on this video, she was the speaker, and I think she showed this video, and this video illustrates this point a lot.
Jesus, I have decided to give you this.
Really?
Yeah.
You know whoever sits here makes all the decisions, right?
I know, and I'm always making decisions. But you make the perfect decisions, so you just sit right down and start making them.
Wow, I'm honored. I mean, this feels great.
Kathleen, guess what? I just got my new credit card. It's time to go shopping.
Oh, really? I thought your husband and you were going to pay off debt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, money's kind of tight, but I figured he doesn't have to know about it. So do you want to go with me?
No.
No?
Why?
What I mean is, I don't know. So let me check my schedule, and then I'll get back to you.
Okay, yeah, give me a call.
Okay.
Kat, what's going on?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm kind of one-cheeking it here. Look, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You wanted me to sit here, right?
Well, of course.
And whoever sits here makes all the decisions?
Right.
So what's the problem?
There's not a problem. I don't know what I was thinking. Really, please, here, sit down.
As long as you're sure.
I'm sure.
Okay, so let's start over.
Okay.
All right. Kat, I noticed that you've been losing your temper a lot lately.
Right. So, okay, Jesus, you know what? I know what you're going to say, but, see, you don't know the whole situation, you know?
Oh. Well, all I'm saying is that your attitude is a decision.
Yes, of course, but I have a lot going on right now.
Well, I know you're under a lot of pressure.
Pressure? Jesus, you don't understand pressure, okay?
This isn't working, Kat.
What?
We can't both sit on the seat. It's either me or it's you.
Okay, I know. You know, I didn't think it was going to be this hard, but here, just take it.
No, I'm not going to take it. You have to give it to me.
Okay, here.
Kathleen, make a choice.
I can't.
You just did.
Isn't that true of life? We offer a sacrifice, but then we want it back. Paul is saying, therefore, because of the mercies of God, and we just went through a couple of them, 1 through 11, because of the mercies of God, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. We can't take back the sacrifice. Either we sacrifice it or we not, or we don't. But why? What is it? How do we do that? It's a holy and acceptable sacrifice. But what exactly does that mean? What does holy mean? If you look at 2 Peter, Peter says that God says, be holy for I am holy, which is, reflects Leviticus. But what is holy? When you look up the word holy, in Hebrew it means to cut. So holy is to cut. God, in other words, he's a category all his own. He's not like the angels. He's not like his creation. There is nothing that you can think of, that I can think of, that will ever compare to who God is. He's holy. He's all by himself. And he says, I want you to be holy. Offer your bodies as a holy sacrifice. You have to cut it off. And you have to give it freely. And it has to be acceptable, which means what? It has to be suitable. Think about Cain and Abel. Cain brought a bunch of vegetables. Abel brought a fatted calf, the first fruits. Abel's was accepted. Cain's was not. Because Abel offered it freely. He offered the best. He said, here's the best, and he took his hands off. We are to offer our lives, our bodies, our everything as a holy and acceptable sacrifice. It's yours. I don't have control over it anymore. It's not mine. And why do we do this? Because the ESV says, as a spiritual worship. It's a worship. When we offer ourselves, when we offer everything that we are, our decisions, our attitudes, our families, to God, it's a worship to God. It's everything that he is. It says that you are all. The King James says it's a reasonable service. Think about that. Think about it. A reasonable service. Think about everything, 1 through 11, that God has done, who you are, where you came from, and what God has done for you, that you could be sitting here worshiping him, being able to take this meal for him. Is it not reasonable to say, I'm yours? I'm yours. Because it makes no sense what you've done. All I can say is it's yours. It's a reasonable service. It's a holy worship. And why do we do this? So we can discern what the will of God is. That's one thing that I hear a lot in our churches and all. We want to know, what is the will of God? What is the will of your call for me, Lord? What do you want? What? I don't know. But what did 8:9 say? The will of God is to be conformed into the image of Jesus. That's the will of God. I want you to be conformed in my son's image. Everything else has to go. So we can discern that. We can look at a situation. We can look at something, a thought in our head, a decision we make, and we can say, does this make me more like Jesus, or does this make me what I want to do? If it's not making me like Jesus, if it's not, then it's got to go. And I have to do what you want, because my life is a living and holy sacrifice to you. How do we do this? Verse 2 says that we do it by renewing our minds. He says, transform by the renewing of your mind. What does transform mean? For some of you know that I am huge into comic books, and one of my favorite comic books, and I had one of those cool little freak out modes, nerd mode the other day, because we rented a movie from the library. We rented Bumblebee, which is one of the Transformers. If you've ever seen the 80s Transformers, in the beginning of Transformers, it was all the 80s original stuff and voices, and I'm just like, wow, that's totally cool. And I'm glad no one's watching me, because this is just cool. Transformers was cool. It still is to me, but more than meets the eye. They change. They don't stay the same. God is saying, don't stay the same. Don't keep your mind where it's at. Change it. Renew it. What does renew mean? Renew is a continually starting over. I'm heading down the wrong path. I need to change ways. 2 minutes later, I'm heading down the wrong way again. I need to change ways. Constantly renewing, transforming it. More like Jesus. To be this holy sacrifice. He says in verse 3, he says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." If your mind is being renewed, if you're thinking of being a living sacrifice, if you've sacrificed it and let it go, then you're looking at Jesus. You're thinking about Jesus. Paul is reminding us what he said back in chapter 11, 17 and 24, especially to us. Don't think of yourselves highly, because you were grafted into this tree, and as easily as God put you in, he will take you back out. Look what he did to Israel, who is his own. Paul's reminding us again, don't think of yourselves more highly. You've done nothing. You will do nothing. It was all God's grace, all God's mercy that he looked at you and said, I want you. So don't think of yourselves highly. Instead, look to what God has given you. Look at the blessings. Look at the grace. Look at the gifts. Because we are a member of one body. And he's referring over to 1 Corinthians 12:24, which talks about the body. The hand not wanting to be the eye. The eye not wanting to be the foot. We all have a part to play. And Paul is reminding us here, we all have a part to play. Play your part. Play your part for God's kingdom. Just like if you go through the Old Testament, and if you start with Exodus and go to Deuteronomy, you're like, you want to smash your head against the wall sometimes, because it's like, I just read this. Why am I reading it again for the fourth time in another chapter? Because God wants us to understand the holiness of who he is. But each part had a thing. The entrails had a part to play. The left leg had a part to play. This part had a part to play. God is saying you have a part to play. Play the part I've given you. Do what I've asked you to do. And how do we do that? How do we know that we are part of the family? Because see, God doesn't want us just to sit back and thank you, God, I'm saved. He wants us to go out and to proclaim. Remember what he said, blessed are the feet that preach the word. And preach means proclaim. Go proclaim. What is the marks of a Christian? And as you look through these, if you have the ESV, if you're looking at the Pew Bible, the translations are a little different, but it blows my mind what they've used. Because see, here he's saying, first and foremost, in verse 6, let love be genuine. Excuse me, verse 9. Let love be genuine. In other words, love has to be your sounding board. It has to be your foundation. Everything that you do has to be in love. Why love? Because Jesus loves me. And in Jesus' love, he died for me, so I'm going to share that love with you. Look at what he says, and I'm just going to read a few of these. He says, abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affections. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Just go through that. Look what he's saying. Abhorred. Abhorred what is evil. Hold fast. Love. I love this one in the ESV here. He says, and this is the only time you're probably ever going to see it in Scripture. God is telling us here to have a little competition. He says, outdo one another in showing honor. How many of you ever have gone to somebody and you like had a car wreck or something, and you're like, you will never believe it, and you're telling your story, and they're like, oh, well, I got one for you. And they try to outdo you in their story, right? We've all run into that. God is saying here, outdo one another in love. Outdo one another in love. Look what God has done. I have a blessing, and I'm going to pass it on. I bet you I can pass the blessing on faster than you. And you pass that blessing on. And they pass that blessing on. And they pass that blessing on. Just like at the communion meditation when I talked about that tragedy and the ripple effect. What is the ripple effect if we pass it on, pass it on, pass it on? Pass that love of Jesus. How far it will reach. Outdo one another in love. Don't be slothful. Serve. Rejoice. Be in constant prayer. Prayer should be like when we are having a conversation. How many of you, and ladies are probably better at it than guys are, but you're having a conversation. I'm talking about Transformers to Ty. And him and I were just going back and forth. But in the back of my head, I'm thinking about, okay, tomorrow at 9 o'clock, this is what I need to do, and do I have these things in order? But I'm focused on Ty, and we're having this conversation. We've done that, right? We have a conversation in our head while our mouths are having another one. That should be prayer. We shouldn't have to stop, bow our knees, get down, put our face to the ground, and close our eyes. When I'm standing here right now preaching to you, I should be in the back of my head praying. Be in constant prayer. He says in Thessalonians, pray always. Pray without ceasing. Contribute to the needy. Seek to show. In other words, this is another time God says, show off. Seek to show one another love. Not look what I did, but show off love. In other words, outdo each other again. Show the love of Jesus. Do you know what God has done in my life? Let me share what God has done. Oh, you'll never believe what God has done in my life. Well, man, He is amazing. Show off what God has done. Why are we so scared to hold back what God has done? Show him off. The world was changed because of what Christians did. Christians showed off the love of Jesus. That's why we have hospitals, orphanages. We've gotten to a point that because of the laws, because of all these things, we're scared to show off what God has done. Show him off. Show him off. And it comes back to verse 6. I told you to hold on to verse 6. What does he say? He says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to you, let's use them. Everything that I was just telling you, outdo one another, don't be slothful, serve, rejoice, be in constant prayer, contribute, seek to show, bless. Use them. Use them. Constantly use them. Do them. And now we come to this part and we're all thinking it. And I was practicing this, it came to my head. Use them. In every situation, when you're at work, when you're at school, when you're driving down the road, when you're waiting on that parking spot, use them. And you have in your head, well, what about that person? Can't do it for that person. That person always has an answer for me. That person, no matter what I do, they're going to boom back at me. That situation, you just don't understand, God. There's that person. I'm glad to do it over here, and I'll do it all day long, but I don't know about that. You know, God knew that was coming. So Paul answers that question. He says in verse 18, he answers that rebuttal. He says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. As so much as it is possible, and it depends on the other person, live peacefully with all. As so much as it is possible, as it depends on the situation, live peacefully with all, right? That's not what he said. As it depends on me. As it depends on you, live peacefully with all. The thing is, we've got to come to that place when we see that individual. We have to come into our heads, and we've got to remember where we came from. I wish I could have found the quote. There was a Facebook quote that did this real well, and I couldn't find it. Remember where you've come from. Where have you come from? Go back to chapter 1. There's a long list that somehow or another we fit into. We are sinners. We love to do our own thing. This is where I came from. Where have they come from? Where are they now? Are they not the same place I've been? Then we have to ask the next question, how did I get here? I know where I came from. I came from a place of outside of God's kingdom. I came from a place of sin. I came from a place of pride and arrogance, and I'm going to do it my way. But how did I get here? Not by my own doings. I got here because God chose to rescue me. God chose to pay my debt. God chose to call me His child. I am here because of God. Does God not care the same about that person? Is that person not just as important as I am? I have to remember where I came from. I have to remember how I got here. And then I have to remember what I've been called to do. I've been called to proclaim the good news of Jesus. I've been proclaim that news. I can't proclaim that news if I'm holding on to something and not willing to share it with you. It's not mine to hold on to. It was a gift given to me. And as we were reading here of outdoing and serving, I have to give it away. So I have to look at that person that drives me insane, that just aggravates my flesh to no end. And I have to say, Jesus died for me. Jesus loves me, and I would be lost without Him. I don't want you to be lost without Him. And I want to give it away. It's not my responsibility what you do with it, but I have to give it away. That's what I've been called to do. That's what you've been called to do. Because we have to remember that nothing can separate us. There's nothing that can take us out of God's hand. So it doesn't matter how this person responds. Because he says in verse 19, and I added this part, therefore let God do the defending. Because I'm not my own anyway. Because what did verse 1 say? Therefore, because of the mercies of God, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. I've sacrificed myself. I've sacrificed my desires, my wants, my will. And God, You've asked me to do this. I can't say no because I've sacrificed my desire. I've sacrificed my choice. So I don't have a choice anymore. And You've asked me to do it. I have to walk in it and let You do the defending. Let You do the glorifying. Because I've offered myself as a living sacrifice. As we come to the end of this song, I want you to remember at the beginning, I'm coming home. The second part of this song, the first part was a desire to live that sacrifice. I want to be a sacrifice to You. I have the key stuck in my throat. I'm holding on to my rotting desires as hard as I can hold on to them. But the second part tells of the mercies of God to make us one. As you listen to these words, I want them to be your cry. I want you to hear these words and let it be your cry. I am shell-shocked, and I have walked through the trenches full of tears, with the mortars of memory exploding in my burning ears. You stripped the trees of Lebanon, and now you're stripping me of the bark of false morality. and the bite of selfish greed. Lord, can you hear me? I'm coming home. I'm coming home. But I'm still a long way off. Will you run to me? Will you come to me? Will you meet me? Will you greet me? For me especially, will you drag me home? Because I'm still a long way off. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Be the sacrifice. You know where you've been. I know where I've been. And if you really, really look at it, and if you're really, really honest, is where we've come from? Is our desires, our choices, our wants really worth holding on to? Or is what He wants, what He asks, worth holding on to? But we have to make that decision. And if He is worth it all, then we have to lay it down and let it go. Because you can't put a sacrifice back together. And like that video says, we have to give it away and let go. So I hope next week you'll join us as Paul takes us to this thought. He's going to take us to this thought, if possible, as much as it depends on you. And he's going to apply it to a real life situation. The Bible is full of situations that we can look at in our life. It's not just a book written a bunch of years ago about a boy who slings a stone and kills a giant. We don't do that anymore, so that's a nice story. It's actually filled with things that we can look at today and go, oh my goodness, that's the answer to that question. Paul's going to hit one of those in the next chapter. We find ourselves in the situations more times than not, and so many times we look at this situation and we say, I don't want to. Because it's not fair. But Paul has an answer. Scripture has an answer. God has an answer. Let us pray.